Boston Celtics get a win and a loss, a tough fourth quarter meltdown, and what is going on with Jason Tatum? We're going to talk about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thanks for making the show part of your daily routine and your first listen every day. Locked On Celtics is free, available on all platforms, including YouTube, and every show is available on LockedOnCeltics.com. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can get anywhere books are sold online. And I just want to thank you for continuing to listen throughout this wild Celtics season that included a win on Friday and a loss on Saturday. The win, I'm going to talk about in the next segment. The loss, I'm going to talk about first. Later on, what's going on with Jason Tatum? I took a deep dive into the numbers, and frankly, they're kind of confusing and kind of makes you go, maybe it's just the funk. But I'll talk about that in the third segment. Let's start with the Celtics losing 91-89 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, which, first of all, 91-89 is kind of gross. That first quarter was gross. Ugly. I tweeted out, what's going on with are the baskets the right height? Are the stanchions too close or too far from the court? Like, what's going on here? Both of these teams came out in the first quarter and absolutely just could not hit. The Celtics ended up pushing out to an 11-point lead after the first quarter, but that was a tough first quarter to watch there. Ultimately, the Celtics would take a 19-point lead in the third quarter, and in the fourth quarter, they blew it. Quarters one through three were pretty good. I thought we saw some amazing play from Marcus Smart, Robert Williams. I know Jason Tatum did not shoot well, but I didn't think he played all that poorly. And Dennis Schroeder, for the most part, was okay in quarters one through three. I thought he was generally attacking, doing what Dennis Schroeder does. Then in the fourth quarter, everything changed. I didn't get a chance to dive into Romeo Langford making some really good key plays. I thought there were plays that he had made that would have changed the entire dynamic of the game. I thought that, like I said, with Smart, he was 0 of 5 in this game, 0 of 2 from 3. And I thought, geez, when I came out of that game, I thought, minus the end of the fourth quarter, I thought, wow, Smart's having a great game. He was on point with his passes, 8 assists, 5 steals. I thought he was just great all the way around. He made some amazing defensive plays. He was everywhere. And look, 0 of 5, not good, but only 5 shots is like, okay, if you're not hitting, like, Marcus is going to have to take, like, you take 5 shots by accident as a starter in an NBA game. If anybody has a problem with, well, he didn't hit a shot, like, he only took 5 shots. He's going to have to take one here and there, and that to me, that's not horrible. It's not great, but still, the rest of his play, he was selective, and he just wasn't hitting. Congratulations, you know, like everybody wasn't hitting, like, except for Dennis Schroeder, who was, but frankly, I wasn't. The fourth quarter erased so much when it comes to Schroeder, and I thought Schroeder, I think when things get comfortable, like Schroeder really likes to kind of be demonstrative, kind of showboat a little bit. I do think that he's, I didn't like when he thought he got fouled and he spent 17 seconds in the backcourt, like laying down it took 17 seconds for him to get from the whatever it was he was doing to joining the rest of the team. There was a key play in the third quarter, I believe, fourth quarter, where he was kind of standing there I think it was Jetty Osman missed the three. He didn't do anything to even like, didn't even like feel out to like, all right, I'm just going to touch this guy to make sure he's not running. Like I can defend him. He just kind of stood there and watched, and Osman cut and got the ball back and drew a foul. Like it was bad. I think there's, when you look at these performances, Tatum, cold, super cold, 8 of 22, 36%, 1 of 8 from 3, super cold, still a plus 12. Robert Williams was awesome. I love, there's no complaints about Robert Williams. 13 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 3 blocks. I love what Robert Williams did in this game, plus 13. Marcus Smart, 0 of 5, still a plus 12. How did Dennis Schroeder end up a minus 3? Now, I will give him some benefit of the doubt. First of all, single game plus minus, obviously very noisy stat. It's not always the be all end all. Ime Udoka, he went with all bench at the end of the first quarter, which was okay. It struggled at the beginning of the second quarter. So I think Ime saw that and said, okay, I want to get my starters some rest. I can't carry that all bench unit over the course of like end of first quarter into the second. I can't do that end of third quarter into the fourth. Let me throw Dennis out there at the beginning of the fourth. And that didn't work. And the Celtics kept blowing their lead. And I think that fed into the minus 3. But if Schroeder was that good, then he could have stabilized that unit, and he didn't. And so I think that Schroeder is, as I've said before on this podcast, he's really good at putting up these numbers, but then I come out of the game feeling like, I don't know, man. Now in Milwaukee game, I'll talk about that next. He was, I think, better. Like that was a really good performance, and they needed every bit of that. In this one, it was just, I don't know. I think the minus 3 is indicative of something. And there were some very obvious plays on the defensive end where it's like he's giving back everything that he's done offensively. So, but that fourth quarter collapse was just a slow kind of torturous, like, oh God, is this really going to happen here? Are they going to go into overtime? Like I thought they were going to go into overtime but they had multiple opportunities in this game to close out the Cavs. The Cavs were not, they were really not interested in winning this game for so much of it. Even in the fourth quarter, as they were making their comeback, the Celtics facilitated that comeback with just bad, bad, bad turnovers. They had 7 turnovers, I believe, in the fourth quarter, and maybe a team turnover in there. Tatum had some really bad turnovers. Smart had a bad turnover. Schroeder had a couple of bad turnovers. Like in my game story for Boston Sports Journal, I was basically breaking it down. Like I do an up and a down at the end of every game. And in this one, I was like, I can't just do up and down. Like Schroeder had 3 quarters of up and 1 quarter of like way down. Like Smart had 95% of a game that was up and 5% of it that was down at the worst possible time. You're like, what are you doing here? They went to Smart over and over again in the post, and he made great plays in the post and was really solid. And then he turns around and turns the ball over, live ball turnover, and they go down the other end. It's like so disappointing. And then he had the foul at the end with Darius Garland, who blew by him, and he tried to foul him. He was trying to foul him on the ground. Like it was very obvious that they had no choice but to foul at that point to try and stop a basket. And Garland did a great job getting, you know, gathering and going up. So it ended up being 2 free throws, which won the game. So for everything positive that Smart did, he was a plus 12. Well, the Celtics blew a 14-point lead. And so if he was a plus 14 or a plus 16, that would have been a different story. So everybody who, like Tatum was cold, and I think, and I'll get into this in the last segment. He did some other things. I don't like his shot selection necessarily throughout the course of the game, but I don't think he played horribly poorly, but he had in the fourth quarter. Like the fourth quarter was totally separate. Like third quarter was actually pretty good. Fourth quarter was actually really bad. And look, they didn't have Jaylen. They didn't have Al. They didn't have Richardson. All guys who could have made defensive stops. Guys, you know, at least Jaylen and Al could have scored potentially in that fourth quarter. So I don't want to go too crazy with it, but this is also the same team that built a 19-point lead. That fourth quarter, the Celtics, they spent a week making me believe that they could withstand somebody's punch and they could hit back. I don't know. Yes, they were shorthanded, but there was no reason for them to not find opportunities to score in that fourth quarter. I know that Ime Udoka had some bad lineup choices. And there was some bad luck in there too. Like, I think he realized that he wanted to get Tatum and Smart back into the game earlier. Jabari Parker had a turnover in the fourth quarter and they didn't get to the scores table in time. They couldn't check in. And then Jetty Osmond hits a three-pointer. He might've still hit the three-pointer, but you know, even that, I don't know what happened, why nobody got to the scores table in time, but those types of things can't happen in a game like this. It was a very annoying loss, but I will say this at the end, the circumstances were like, okay, without, you know, being shorthanded, the way they lost was gross. And, you know, it happened again that way. And you just want to just like scream and like, what the, but you say, all right, look, reality is they were shorthanded. Under normal circumstances, that game would have been a win. Really, the Milwaukee game probably should have been a loss. So probably works out in the end. It's just annoying that in that moment, 19-point lead, third quarter, opportunity to close this out. I do think that if I'm going to second-guess Ime Udoka quickly here, if you're trying to steal these minutes for these guys to rest, why not start that fourth quarter? Just, I know those guys were resting for a little bit. Just start the fourth quarter. The game has been cut a little bit. They're on a little bit of a run. It was a 9-2 run to close the third quarter. Why not start the fourth quarter? Say, okay, we're still up 12. Put the starters back in. Let's close this thing out. Let's build this back up to 25. And instead of trying to catch the rest at the beginning of the fourth quarter, let's just catch it at the end. Let's just sit these guys down and catch our rest at the end of the fourth quarter. Blow this open. Go out there, and in the final 5 minutes, this is just garbage time, and that's where you get your rest. Too often we think, let's just get our rest here, and then we'll close it out later. No, do it the other way. Just close it out early, and then try to get your rest. That's my second guess of Ime Udoka. All right, come back. I'll talk about the Milwaukee Bucks game. First, I got to tell you about Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy, and I know you're going to love it. It's made the best NBA daily fantasy sports prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. It offers all the superstar players and bench players that are only recording a handful of minutes each game. So any prop you can think of on the basketball side and multiple sports like yardage, touchdowns, and football, you can go ahead and mix and match and take the over on Tatum and the under on Mac Jones if you want. So go check it out. Prize Picks is offering a promo code NBA to get you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Use the promo code NBA. You pick two to five players and an over under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Prize Pick is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Do not hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA or go to your app store. Download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Today's show also brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got a login from somebody else for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a new, simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle. It's a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV, on-demand favorites, and brings them together like never before, so you can watch your favorite shows, movies, and shows in one place. And sports, that means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion, get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, thank you for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Why not make one of the other Boston sports podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network your second listen? Locked On Patriots after that huge blowout win of the Cleveland Browns. Locked On Bruins after the win over the Montreal Canadiens, and Locked On Red Sox for all of your off-season talk. It's available wherever podcasts exist and on YouTube. All right, let's get into this Milwaukee Bucks game, which I thought was basically kind of ugly all around. It was even to start at 30-all. The Celtics went into the half down 4 and made a big run in the third quarter. And obviously, in the fourth quarter, another letdown in the fourth quarter. They go into overtime where they ended up winning pretty easily. But this was the big Dennis Schroeder game. Now, Schroeder in this game was pretty good. A lot of the same things with Schroeder. Like, here we go. Jason Tatum, 10 of 25, 40%. 5 of 13 from 3, which is 38.5%, which is actually not bad. Plus 11. Robert Williams was a plus 13. Dennis Schroeder was a plus 3. Marcus Smart was a plus 13. So Al Horford had a tough game in this one, minus 5. So he wasn't great. But here's Tatum, Williams, Smart, all plus 11, plus 13, plus 13. Schroeder down to a plus 3. When he put up 38 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, but 6 turnovers. And that was part of the fourth quarter collapse. Or not collapse necessarily, but let down. They did go into overtime. I knew with about 4 minutes to go in that game that that was going into overtime. I was talking to some of the other writers next to me, and I was like, this has overtime written all over it. And I made the joke that the Celtics, you know, Celtics beat writers are going to like file a class action lawsuit against the Celtics for continuously going into overtime. Just to say that we have our game stories, like we want to start our game stories like within a reasonable amount of time, and you start writing what you think is the flow of the game through three quarters, then all of a sudden the fourth quarter comes around and you're like, well, none of this stuff that I was thinking of, what I was writing, matters anymore. That's what these Celtics, it's like for three quarters, it's like, okay, and then the fourth quarter, like, oh, okay, never mind. Just rip that up and, you know, Jimmy Butler mean, give me the piece of paper, let me... Woo! But I thought the Bucks game, the Celtics came out slow because I think there was, and Ime said it afterwards, Giannis was a late scratch, and this is what teams do. You know that they didn't have Middleton. You know that they didn't have Lopez, and all of a sudden Giannis with an ankle was a late scratch. I saw him out there warming up. I just assumed that he was ready to go. And all of a sudden I got word that it was, you know, he was out. You're like, oh, okay. That was surprising. You tell the team that and they're like, oh, pfft. Oh, we got this. And this is part of what the Celtics do, man. I keep asking these players. I asked Tatum the other day, I asked Rob after the Cleveland game, because these guys keep saying, yeah, we relax. We let our foot off the gas. You know, we just, you know, we can't keep doing that. And I say, like, all right, you guys keep saying you can't keep doing that, but you keep doing that. Like, we know that every NBA team is going to have a game where you relax and you let your foot off the gas, so to speak, and the other team's going to come back and be like, oh, God, I can't believe we blew it. Every NBA team is going to have one of those games every season. And, okay, fine, I'll give you one. Can't keep giving you those over and over and over again. And they won this game, but they won this game because Schroeder, for all of the plus minus stuff that I keep talking about, was phenomenal in the fourth quarter and the overtime. 8 points in the overtime, 3 of 4 shooting, no turnovers in the overtime. That was the big reason why the Celtics ended up winning this game. But it's not even about the winning. It's about the attitude. And I understand that these guys are trying to implement what Ime Udoka is preaching, and there's going to be some matchups where, hey, look, when Milwaukee's down the way they were down, there are guys on that team that have pride and are who are NBA players. They are going to hit you with everything that they have. If I was an NBA player and I find out that all of those guys are out, like, I would be in the locker room thinking like, oh God, we really got to bust our asses. Like, it's almost better to have Giannis and Middleton and Lopez in the game, even though they're far superior players. They're the guys who are going to be like, hey, look, it's November. We're going to chill out. All the stuff we criticize the Celtics for, like, they're going to be the ones who are going to be like, all right, we're going to go about three quarter speed, maybe like 80, 85% speed. Let's all just go 85% speed and we'll figure it out from there. No, now you got Pat Connaughton getting big minutes. You've got, Grayson Allen getting big minutes. You've got, you know, Bobby Portis, Shimmy Ogilvy coming up, you know, what's up, Shimmy Ogilvy, stepping up in this game. You can't sit there and be like, oh, those guys are out. We got nothing. You know, it's fine, man. When those guys are out, that's when you got to step up, because in the NBA, the team that tries the hardest is always going to have a chance to win the game. Doesn't matter who you are. Oklahoma City is actually winning basketball games because they're out there just trying their asses off. So the Celtics can't come out there nonchalant, which they kind of did. I thought they weren't great for the first half. Thought the first half was kind of bad for the Celtics. Third quarter was good, and then they kind of let up again. The fourth quarter was meh. More turnovers, more bad turnovers, and then they stepped up in the overtime and they won that game. In the end, I want to say that they're going to figure this out. I'm going to keep a positive attitude here, but I just don't trust these guys. They showed me that they had fight for a while, and then the second they had the opportunity to just relax again, they did. And, you know, this is a rough stretch, and they were shorthanded and they were coming off the overtime and all of that stuff. It's all true. I just have a hard time thinking, like, you know, when it hits the fan, that these guys are going to step up. Now, part of the problem is that Tatum is so cold. Why is Tatum so cold? What is going on here? I'm going to talk about that when I come back. First, I'm going to talk to you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Go check them out. In fact, while I'm talking, I'm just going to go to built.com and see what specials they have, because they're always dropping something new. Hey, coconut brownie chunk is back with chunks of brownie on top. So if you're into coconut, grab one of these. Hey, take it to Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe one of these Built Bars, coconut brownie chunk with 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar. That could be a dessert. It could. Hey, why not? You know, after all of the food that you've had, you want to have something a little bit better for you? Why not have a coconut brownie chunk? So check them out. If you go to built.com, they're always going to have their special flavor. What's this paranormal pumpkin? That's new. Paranormal pumpkin? Okay. They've got all sorts of different products. They just surprised me with one of these. A peanut butter brownie, 180 calories, 19 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar. So if you've got a nut allergy, you're not going to get peanut butter brownie, but you could get coconut, which is nut-free. Plenty of nut-free options for you. If you're on a keto diet, this works. So check them out. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. Every time you go to built.com, there's going to be a huge, huge Black Friday sale that's coming up very soon. So Black Friday, tons of surprises, huge event. Use LOCKED15. You can use it now. You can use it on Black Friday. You can go back after Black Friday. Every time, LOCKED15 is good for 15% off at built.com.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Hey, thank you for making a Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. You can make your second listen the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast with Josh Lloyd, who will help you win your fantasy basketball lead Check him out. He is the absolute best when it comes to fantasy basketball. Available everywhere podcasts exist and on YouTube. Also, check out Locked On NBA. You want to make that your second listen. I'm on the Locked On Monday talking Celtics as well. So, Jason Tatum, he's just having a rough start to the season. Right now, 38.8% from the field, 32% from three. That's gross. 48% within 5 feet of the rim. Cleaning the glass, which filters out some garbage time stuff, has him at 52% at the rim, which is garbage. It's just a garbage shooting start to the season, minus the Dallas game where he shot well. They ended up losing, but he's just not shooting well. And so people ask me, what's going on with Tatum? All the time. I was at my niece's sixth birthday party, and I got asked the question, what's going on with Tatum anyway? So tried to like look into his numbers. And the fact is that the big picture is some of it is just cold. Like, I really believe that some of it is he's just cold. Like, there are actual reasons that, look, go back to last season. But at the end of last season, the Celtics were fighting to try to get out of that play-in. They were in the play-in. Then they played Brooklyn, and Tatum was just going off as the only real first option. Jaylen Brown was out with the wrist injury. Then he goes to Team USA. Then he comes back, and there's a new coaching staff, new rules in the NBA about what's a foul. All of these things, like, it all makes sense that he would have had a slow start to the season. So I'm not surprised. Does the new ball have something to do with it? I don't know, maybe. So I'm not saying I'm shocked at Tatum's slow start. I'm really, when you think about it, say, oh, you know what? That's not surprising. You go back to the 2019-20 season, which was the last real season the Celtics, the NBA had. He started off that season shooting 40% from the field, less than 36% from three, shot 43.5% within 5 feet of the rim over that same amount of time. Like, Tatum's actually right in range with that. And that was his first All-Star season. He turned it around. So there is precedent for Tatum having a slow start and then turning things around. And so it's certainly possible that Tatum will get back on track. I think there are a couple of things that when I look at the game, when he does get to the rim, he's missing a ton. Like, he's missing a ton of layups or short, whatever shots. And I think it's frustrating him. I think he wants calls and he's not getting called. And maybe last season, those would have been fouls. This season, they're not. They're just letting him play this season. So I think Tatum is used to a certain kind of NBA, and he's being frustrated by not getting those potential calls right now. And he's being frustrated by the misses. And I think the lack of calls, the lack of his own makes, are leading to a couple of issues. First of all, he's making mistakes on the other end. Second of all, he's leaning into some bad habits. I looked at where the shots are coming from now, and he's stepping back into that mid-range. The shots between 16 feet and the three-point line, that long mid-range, are up 16%. Meanwhile, his shots at the rim are at 16.5%, the lowest point of his career. And I think he's so frustrated by what's happening at the rim, he's shying away from that, and he's just settling for the long twos. Here's the problem. He's making the long twos at 46%, and that's his best spot on the floor. So those are the shots that are falling the most, so he's taking them the most. But every single team in the NBA, if you said, hey, you're playing the Celtics, Jason Tatum's going to take most of his shots from that 16-foot to the three-point line range, that long two, he's going to shoot 46%. Every one of those teams would be like, oh, well, where do I sign? Mm-hmm, I'm going to sign right there. And yes, please let me get that Jason Tatum, because it's the most inefficient shot in basketball. because you're so close to the three-point line, you might as well step back. And at 46%, you're not hitting those at a high enough rate where the efficiency is good. Kevin Durant hits those shots at like 50-plus percent. Chris Paul hits those shots at 50-plus percent. There are guys who hit those shots at a high enough rate where it's like, okay, that's cool. Because you have to hit them at 50-plus percent to match the 35% that you can shoot from three and get the same point production. That's why efficiency matters. That's why the analytics in this kind of matter. And Tatum, I think, is so frustrated by what's going on around the rim that he's just settling for those shots. And the fact is that they're falling at a decent enough rate where he feels comfortable. He's like, okay, I know I can count on this shot, but they're not falling at a high enough rate where it really helps the Celtics. So he just needs to keep going to the rim, keep attacking, keep doing what he's doing when he's playing well. And let me be fair. He is playing well, generally speaking, otherwise. He has some bad stretches, and they come at really horrible times. Some late-game turnovers, which are brutal, okay? Brutal. And some areas of frustration where he gets away from the things that had been working or the things that work for the team. He just needs to find a way to center himself, which he's generally very centered. On the court, it's tough. It's an emotional grind. Tatum needs to just find some way to say, okay, I'm not going to settle for these certain shots early in the shot clock. The mid-range shot, that mid-range fadeaway is going to be there any single time he wants. He's never gotten that shot blocked. You can back a guy down or do whatever and get that fadeaway from the mid-range anytime you want. It's still not an efficient shot, but if that's the shot you want to take, or if that's the shot you have to take, then fine. But don't do it with 16 seconds on the shot clock. Work the ball around some more. Just do that, especially early. Do not go hunting for your shot early. Let the game come to you early. Do that early. Pass the ball in those situations. Get that paid attention. Pass. Move the ball around. You'll get it back. Just don't force the issue. I think there are a couple of times where he forces the issue. He gets caught up in moments, and that just exacerbates the problem. He needs to calm down and just let it come to him. I think mostly, this is simply a slump. And because he's in a slump, he's falling into some bad habits. And if he just shakes those bad habits off, no matter how long this slump lasts, he will come out of it. So just relax. Just relax. Let it come to you, Jason Tatum. All right. That's going to do it for this week's show, this Monday show, I should say. Monday night, Celtics and Cavs part two from Cleveland. I will come to you with a fresh podcast after that, as I will every day this week, Monday through Friday. Road heavy schedule this week. So check it out. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcast. Please watch the show on YouTube. Subscribe on the YouTube channel. Really would like that help. And you can really help by sharing the podcast, spreading the word. Tell your friends that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.